Have you ever purchased a guitar and immediately regretted it? You know, that feeling that the guitar you just bought isn't really right for you? Well, if you've had that feeling, don't worry, you're not alone. In fact, today I'm going to tell you the story of the guitar that I purchased and immediately regretted. And more importantly, I'm going to teach you how to never have those feelings of buyer's remorse again.
Stop torturing yourself, man. You'll never afford it. Live in the now.
It will be mine. Oh, yes. It will be mine.
Before I get started with my Guitar Geek report today, I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. If you haven't heard yet, Acoustic Tuesday is gearing up for a brand new season starting in the beginning of October. And I am super pumped. I'm excited for two distinct reasons. Number one, the new season of Acoustic Tuesday, of course. And number two, the fact that Whitney and I are going to be bringing a baby boy into the world right around September 18th. So I'm taking this time to be at home, help Whitney out, and ultimately prepare for the arrival of our new baby boy, Emerson Towns. So you'll be getting weekly reports from me from the home front with my Guitar Geek list and, of course, some new Guitar Geek Dad happenings as they happen. And I got to tell you, this week was pretty exceptional. I had some interesting practice sessions this week that don't have anything to do with guitar, but have everything to do with having a baby and becoming a new dad. But we'll get to that here in just a little bit. I want to get on to this feeling of buyer's remorse and how to extinguish the feeling of buyer's remorse. Now, first up, I want to tell you the story of the single guitar that I purchased that I immediately regretted. I was right around 19 or 20, I can't remember exactly when, but I had this idea that I wanted to get my very first, my own acoustic guitar. Prior to this, I had been using my dad's Epiphone Texan, which was by no means a vintage Epiphone Texan. It was built somewhere in the 80s, it was built overseas. It was a guitar that served a great purpose for me, but it wasn't a great sounding guitar by any means. So I was hellbent on getting my own first acoustic guitar. So I drove from Schaumburg, Illinois, which is like the northwest suburbs of Chicago, on down to Chicago proper and went to the Guitar Center downtown. And I walked in with my buddy Tony, great name by the way, and he was there for of course, emotional and moral support. I didn't know what I was doing, quite honestly. I didn't know what I was looking for. I was scared that any of the sales associates were gonna ask me if I needed help because I quite simply couldn't convey to them what I was looking for. I had no idea. I was completely out of my element. I had just started guitar and I didn't even know the right questions to ask. So I very sheepishly poked around the acoustic room for quite some time and settled on a Tacoma Dreadnought. It was an entry-level Tacoma Dreadnought, something that I thought was, I guess, great at the time. Honestly, it was the most convenient guitar for me to buy. I was too scared to ask any questions, and there was a stack of Tacoma Dreadnoughts conveniently housed in cardboard boxes. So I thought to myself, well, this makes it easy on me. I don't have to ask any questions, and I can just grab a box, check out, and I'll be on my way with my brand new guitar. So I did that very thing. I purchased this entry-level Tacoma Dreadnought, and this is not a knock against those guitars. In fact, I think those guitars serve a very distinct purpose for a lot of players. I don't even know if Tacoma's actually in business anymore. Nonetheless, the point is not the Tacoma guitar. The point is the feelings and the sentiment behind the guitar I purchased. So I was pumped, right? I threw the guitar in the trunk of my car and away we went back to Schaumburg to unwrap the guitar out of its little protective wrapping and tune it up and whatnot. And I remember getting home, opening the guitar and feeling immediately like I had made this huge mistake. Like I wasn't really emotionally invested in the guitar. I wasn't attached to it in any way, shape or form. So I started finding all the things wrong with the guitar. I was nitpicking everything. And again, I didn't know much about guitar at this time, so it was really weird. I was like, oh, the bridge looks strange and the strings are tarnished and little things like that. Things to convince myself that it wasn't me, it was simply the guitar. And it was the guitar's fault. It was simply the guitar's reason that I wasn't in love with it. But honestly, it was kind of a combination. And what I learned with that guitar was that when you go in to purchase a guitar, there's really a process that you should go through. There's a mental checklist that all the boxes should be ticked for you to say, okay, this is the guitar for me. I'm gonna be able to take this guitar home and I'm not gonna feel bad about it. I'm gonna enjoy every second with it. And that's something that is really, has been near and dear to my heart ever since that moment. I ended up returning that guitar. And I remember the person asking me, the person at the front desk saying, what was wrong with it? And I said, I don't know, the strings are weird and the bridge this and that. And I remember the look that he gave me. He kind of gave me this look like, dude, what are you talking about? This guitar is fine. And what I should have said was, you know, I just didn't connect with the guitar. I didn't connect with it here in the showroom, and I certainly didn't connect with it when I brought it home. Which brings me to the present, because I have two guitars and I'm gonna share a story with you. I'm gonna share stories on each of these guitars. In fact, these guitars, I've had no buyer's remorse, no regret whatsoever, and these guitars bring me joy every single time I play them. The first one is this custom Bourgeois OMSC. And the next one is right above my head here. It's this Bourgeois Large Sound Hole Custom OMS. Each of these guitars has a story, and each will help teach you how to purchase a guitar without feeling that buyer's remorse or that regret that may come with it sometimes.
Excuse me, Wayne.
Can I put the Fender back now, please?
Not today, my good man. I'm feeling saucy. I think I'm gonna buy it. Do you accept? Cash?
Okay, first up, let me tell you the story of this custom Bourgeois OMSC. This was the first guitar that I had specifically built for me. Totally custom. This wasn't a guitar I could walk into a shop and play. This was a guitar I had to think of and put on paper and then send that to the folks at Bourgeois, and they made it, and hopefully, fingers crossed, it would fulfill my dreams. And this guitar certainly did. Now, you might be thinking, wow, if you were to regret any of your guitar purchases, this might be the one because, well, you didn't even have a chance to play it or hear it or feel it before you had it. No, I didn't. But I went through such meticulous detail in designing this guitar with Matt Cholka at Eddie's Guitars. Those of you who have watched Acoustic Tuesday are familiar with Matt. Matt is just, he is an enlightening fellow. Whenever I talk to Matt, I feel like I learn more about the acoustic guitar. And he helped me design this. And that was one of the things that really struck me, is that so much thought went into the designing of this. Matt asked me all the right questions. But more importantly, Matt never rushed me. He just simply asked what sound I was looking for, and we went after that. And then once we determined that, we talked about playability, nut width, scale length, etc. And then after that, we talked about aesthetics. But by no means at any point during that process did I ever feel rushed, or did I ever feel like I was making a choice that wasn't mine. And that's very key. Hang on to that statement. At no point I was ever forced into making a choice that didn't feel like it was mine. That's very important for what I'm going to talk about a little bit later. So nonetheless, I got this guitar, had a great time designing it with Matt. In designing this guitar with Matt, Matt and I's friendship certainly grew, but also I was introduced to a new person, James at Bourgeois Guitars, and developed a relationship with James as well, because he would call me, give me updates, etc. And I remember the day this guitar was ready, I was actually in a hotel room in Chicago with Whitney and my son Aiden, my older son Aiden. We were about to go to a Chicago Blackhawks game. They were playing the Montreal Canadiens. This was 2 years ago now, 2018. Yeah, 2018, I believe. But I was in this hotel room. I got this call from Maine. Is it Maine? Yeah, I think it's Maine where they're at. Where are they at? Why can't I think of it? Yeah, it's Maine. Yeah, they're in Lewiston, Maine. I got this call on my phone from Maine, and I didn't have the number programmed in my phone. And all of a sudden, my guitar was done. It was, hey, this is James from Bourgeois. Your guitar is ready to ship. And I was like, so excited. Anyways, the guitar came and I was super, super thrilled. And I believe I was so happy for some distinct reasons that I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. Again, this is a guitar that I very much easily could have regretted purchasing because it was not an inexpensive guitar. Plus, I didn't even have the chance to play it. So now you got this story. Let me share with you the story of another guitar that I could have also regretted, but didn't. For those of you wondering what a young guitar geek would wear, let me go ahead and show you a couple of Emerson's Primo outfits.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is how a young guitar geek lays his foundation. We've got the six-string slinger shirt there on the left, and then the rock and roll skeleton hand shirt there on the right. Pretty incredible fall collection, if I do say so myself.
And now we should ask Whitney a couple of questions about how she's doing.
This is the first installment of Whitney's Mommy Confessional. Whitney, how many weeks do you have left?
Well, for the baby's sake, probably about 3 weeks.
And how are you feeling at this point of the pregnancy?
I'm ready to be done. It's hot, and I'm swollen, and I'm ready for him to be here.
And do you hope he plays guitar?
Yeah, that would be nice.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
So the next guitar that has a story behind it is this custom Bourgeois OMS with a large sound hole. I purchased this guitar at Heartbreaker Guitars in Las Vegas when Whitney and I and the whole family were on a trip to Las Vegas to celebrate Whitney and her brother's birthday. Actually, kind of all of our birthdays. They're all clumped around the same area. August 29th, September 2nd, September 3rd. Yeah, there's a lot of birthdays. Nonetheless, we were in Vegas and I thought to myself, well, I know what I want to do in Vegas. And the answer was not gamble and not walk the strip. The answer was go to Heartbreaker Guitars. Now, prior to this, I had built up a relationship with Brendan at Heartbreaker Guitars, and I had called him a couple of times just in preparation of our trip to kind of schedule a time to go into Heartbreaker Guitars, and I'm so glad I did. I actually was able to take the whole family to Heartbreaker Guitars, Whitney's father, Whitney's brother, and it was just a blast. It was a cool family outing, and Brendan treated us so well, opened the doors with just welcoming arms, and we were able to try out so many different guitars. And this particular guitar caught my attention. Again, it's a custom Bourgeois OM with a large sound hole, cutaway, a great guitar for finger picks, just a stellar instrument. But I purchased this guitar when I was on vacation, of course, in Vegas. And usually I always consider vacation purchases as kind of whim purchases, you know, purchases you make because, well, you're in a new place and you feel like, what the hell, I'm just gonna buy a guitar because it's fun. And well, it is fun to buy a new guitar, but sometimes those purchases come with a little bit of regret, or they can come with some regret, like, oh gosh, I was on vacation, I shouldn't have spent that money, I shouldn't have done this, I shouldn't have made that decision there, I should have waited, I should have thought about it, blah, 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 all those things. But this guitar really, to me, is a signifier of a memory for me. It was a time that I got to spend with my family at a guitar store around music. It was a time I got to spend with Brendan at Heartbreaker Guitars and further our relationship. And ultimately, the guitar sounds damn good. And I'm super happy that I purchased it. And I have zero regret. Why don't I have any regret? And this is something that brings me to the whole topic of these stories. The three stories that I told you, me buying that Tacoma Dreadnought and returning it, me commissioning a custom guitar and feeling super fulfilled, and me buying a guitar on vacation and also feeling super fulfilled and happy that I purchased it. I had no regret around the latter two instruments, and I'll tell you why. In fact, the reasons why I have no regret is because I went through a process and I asked myself the right questions. And that's exactly what I want to share with you right now. I want to share with you this framework or these kind of things you can bring into the guitar purchasing process so that you don't feel regret, so that you don't bring the guitar home and feel like, oh, this isn't the guitar for me, and you start nitpicking it. And all those things I went through very early on. So here's what I want you to do. When you go to purchase a guitar, the first thing I want you to do is spend time with the guitar. Don't just pick a random guitar off the shelf, play it for 5 minutes, and decide this is the one. Spend time with it. If you can do it in person, that's the best because you can play all your songs, you can do all the things that you like to do with guitar to make sure that the guitar is a good fit for you. Now, I do realize that sometimes you simply can't play the guitar in person. And if that's the case, spend your time researching the guitar. Look over reviews. Find people that have owned the guitar before or a guitar similar to it and ask them questions, how they like it, what they would have done different last time, what they wished the guitar, you know, what they wished the guitar would do that it didn't do, or what they were surprised that they found out about the guitar. Spend time learning about the guitar, whether it's in person or online. That time that you invest on the front end will significantly reduce those feelings of buyer's remorse or regret that you may have later on. The second thing I want you to do that will greatly reduce buyer's remorse is to ask questions. And yes, this definitely goes along with the whole research and do your due diligence about the guitar, but when you have a question about the guitar, ask it. Ask it via email to the store owner or the sales associate you're working with. Ask it to the person that's helping you out in person at the guitar store. Ask questions, and please, this is easier said than done because it sounds so simple, but sometimes, quite honestly, we're scared to ask questions because we feel like it'll make us look dumb, or it'll make us look silly, or it'll make us look like we don't know as much as the sales associate thinks we know. That's okay. Remember, you're investing in a guitar that's gonna make you happy. So ask the questions on the front end so that you don't have to find out the hard way after you bring the guitar home. The third thing that I want you to do that will greatly reduce buyer's remorse and or regret after purchasing a guitar is to ask yourself the question, what can this guitar do that my other guitars can't? I think this is a great question for a couple of reasons. Number one, since I'm at home and I can talk about this freely, it prepares you for the question that your significant other may very well ask you down the road. So to have a prepared answer is really nice. But in all seriousness, it actually allows you to explore why you're purchasing the guitar. And maybe you're purchasing the guitar simply because you like it and it inspires you. Well, maybe your other guitars are just simply not inspiring you right now, and this one does. So that's what it can do that the others can't. But maybe it's more specific. Maybe you have a bunch of dreadnoughts and you think, yeah, I don't mind finger picking on my dreadnoughts, but this guitar that I'm looking at right now, this small body, this beautiful guitar, this guitar is basically made for finger picking. This guitar can finger pick much better than the other guitars that I have. That's why I want you to ask this question, because it helps you dial in and get in touch with the reason why you're purchasing the guitar, and helps you, in a way, justify it. Not in a kind of a vanity way, but in a way that truly helps you explore, well, this guitar is gonna allow me to do X, Y, and Z. Finger pick better, flat pick better, be more comfortable to hold. The options here are pretty limitless. The fourth thing that I want you to evaluate, and this one sounds so simple, but it is so crucial that you ask yourself this question: who are you buying the guitar for? I'll say it again. Who are you buying the guitar for? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Tony, this is a really silly question. You've gone off your rocker. You've spent too much time at home already. No, ask yourself the question, who are you truly buying the guitar for? Because you might be saying, well, of course, I'm buying it for myself. What? Why? Now, check this out. Let me explore this question a little bit. We're swayed often, or we can be swayed often by who's around in the guitar store. We can be swayed by whose opinion we gather. And that's okay. I mean, if you're fact-finding, that's one thing. But if you're purchasing a guitar simply to impress somebody, or simply because they think it's a good guitar, that right there is kind of a troubled area. You're wading into some murky waters there, because that means you're not buying the guitar ultimately for you. It means you're buying the guitar because somebody else thinks it's good. And if you buy the guitar in question because somebody else thinks it's good, but you really don't, or it doesn't serve a purpose for you, then that is a huge red flag, because chances are you won't feel as fulfilled with that instrument because, well, you didn't buy it for you. You bought it because somebody else said it was good. Now, this is not to be confused with validation. I think sometimes it's easy to say, well, wait, I want to gather other opinions on how a guitar sounds. Yes, and you should, but I want you to first kind of go within yourself and ask yourself, do I really like this guitar? Do I really like the tone? Because that's the most important answer. You can ask hundreds of people on the street if they like the sound of your guitar, but if you don't like it, you'll never find joy in it, and ultimately you'll feel that feeling of regret, and it may even manifest itself as buyer's remorse, and you might end up returning that instrument. So truly, truly love the guitar, and the way that you do that is to ask yourself the question, who am I really buying this guitar for? Now, the final and most important thing I want you to do when purchasing a guitar and trying to remove those feelings of regret or buyer's remorse is to forge a relationship with the store owner, the sales associate, basically whomever is involved with selling you the guitar. Try and start a relationship with them. And this could go all the way back to whomever manufactured the guitar. This is so vital to your guitar journey, but also your feeling of connection with the instrument. And I'm not saying this from the perspective of, oh, trick yourself into purchasing a guitar and then make friendships. It's not that surface level. It's much, much deeper than that. And I'll bring this full circle. You know, both the guitars, the custom OMSC that I got from Eddie's Guitars in St. Louis from Matt Chalka, and also this custom Bourgeois large sound hole that I got from Heartbreaker Guitars in Las Vegas from Brendan. Both of these guitars mean so much to me because, yes, I think they look amazing. I also think they sound great. I think they play exceptionally well. But each guitar means so much to me because it was a chance for me to further my relationship with both Matt at Eddie's Guitars and Brendan at Heartbreaker Guitars. I had a chance to sit down with them and actually have conversations about guitars that led to other things. Both of these guys are hockey fans. Both of these folks are really, truly guitar geeks. And I think I knew that on the front end, but both of these kind of explorations with guitar really allowed me to sink into our friendship and take it to a different level. It makes me look at the guitars that I purchased with much more fondness and give them kind of this, well, emotional story to go with them that inspires me. So you're really doing yourself a favor by doing those very five things. And let me go ahead and list those off for you just real quickly. The first is spend as much time as you possibly can with a guitar. This could be research or this could be in person. The second thing is ask questions. Please, please, please don't be too scared to ask questions about an instrument. They're vital to evaluate your purchase, but also to really, well, I guess, know if the guitar is going to be a good fit for you. The third thing is to ask yourself what this guitar that I'm about to purchase can do that my other guitars can't. It will help you really target why you're getting the guitar. The fourth thing is ask yourself the question, who am I buying this guitar for? And that answer better be you and you alone. Don't allow yourself to get swayed by others' opinions. You formulate your opinion first because it's very, very valuable, probably the most valuable. And then you can ask others for validation if you need to do so. And then the final thing that I want you to do, and probably the most important, and the thing that really leads to what I think is a fulfilling guitar journey, is to forge a relationship with the people who are selling you the guitar. Again, that could be the store owner, the sales associate, even the folks that made the guitar in the first place. I mean, if we look at both the guitars that I purchased, both of those Bourgeois guitars, I got a chance to know Matt and Brendan much better, but also I was introduced to James at Bourgeois, which led to me getting a video from Dana when he was actually voicing the top of that guitar. So you never know what could happen when you ask the right questions, when you spend the time, and ultimately get the guitar that is right for you. And you can kiss those feelings of regret and buyer's remorse far, far away. You can send them packing on down the road. Get out of here. We don't have any time for that. We should be having fun with our guitars, right? Nonetheless, I hope you found that valuable. Now, since we're talking about stores and forging relationships, I wanted to ask you a very important question. And this is something that I hope you will flood the comments with. I want to know in the comments below what your favorite guitar store is and who is your go-to guy or gal at that store. Okay? So I've got three. While you're thinking of yours, I'm going to share with you my three. Number one, Music Villa. And Paul Decker, the owner, is fantastic. He's not only treated me well, he's treated many, 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 many of my friends and Tony's Acoustic Challenge members very well. The second is Matt Chalka from Eddie's Guitars in St. Louis. And then, of course, the third is Brendan Smith from Heartbreaker Guitars in Las Vegas. But I want to know yours. So in the comments below, name your favorite store and your go-to person at that very store. Before I let you go for the day, I want to tell you a story that has nothing to do with guitar, but has everything to do with Whitney and I preparing for Emerson's arrival. In fact, it has there's a skunk involved, so I'll tell you that story in a second, but I wanted to share with you a couple of mailbag arrivals that I think you'll find interesting. The first comes from Black Mountain Thumb Picks out of Canada, and Cole McBride, the owner of Black Mountain Picks, sent these to me for me to try and ultimately share with you if I dug them. And holy smokes, I think these are pretty awesome. So this is what the Black Mountain thumb pick looks like. It's a coil spring that attaches the part that wraps above your thumb to what looks like a flat pick. And essentially this makes a thumb pick. but a thumb pick that's very comfortable. A thumb pick that stays nice and solid because of the tension provided by the spring. It grabs on your thumb, it doesn't rotate around, unless you're picking really heavily. If you pick super heavily, yeah, it's gonna rotate around a little bit. But if you're picking with normal force, they don't really move at all. Plus, the wider surface area is really comforting. It gives you some nice kind of thumb drive when you're thumb picking. So make sure to check these out. I really dug these, and I want to thank Cole and everybody at Black Mountain Thumb Picks for sending these my way. If you want to visit them online, just go to blackmountainpicks.com. Again, that's blackmountainpicks.com. This isn't a paid advertisement or anything like that. I'm not receiving any kickbacks or anything. It's just a cool piece of gear that I wanted to show with you that has helped me while away a couple of hours here while I'm at home. And the second thing comes from David M., who's a Tony's Acoustic Challenge member and overall music and blues enthusiast. He sent me this album, Scott Ainsley's Terraplane. And this is, if you're looking for an awesome finger-picking blues album, this is fantastic. Whitney and I were driving around over the weekend, and we had this in the car, and really, really were into it. So I wanted to share that with you as well. Again, that's Scott Ainsley. Huge thanks to David M. for sending that my way. Now on to a story that I think you'll get a kick out of, and then I'll leave you to your Guitar Geek journey. So this weekend, actually it was Thursday of last week, Whitney and I, we went to bed kind of late after watching a movie. She was experiencing some practice contractions, I think that's what they're called, or Braxton Hicks, where it's like your body's preparing to have a baby. Things that I totally don't know about right now, but I'm learning. So she had a couple of these Braxton Hicks contractions, and I was on high alert. I had my timer out. I was getting ready to time the contractions, but they were irregular, so kind of a false alarm, but definitely put things into perspective that Emerson will be here sooner than we know. So we went to bed late, and I woke up at 1:30 in the morning. Coda, the big white dog, was barking like crazy, and Argos was outside. And I thought to myself, oh, I wonder if there's deer or something in the backyard. We get a lot of deer back here. So then I smelled this horrible smell of a skunk. Not like skunk in the distance, like skunk under your bed pillow kind of a smell. And Argos, the little blue heeler type dog that we have, she's an older lady. She's up on the deck, and she's looking at me with this face, she's got, her eyes are running, and she's licking her chops, and she got skunked right in the face. So this is 1:30 in the morning, and I'm like, what do we do? I've never had a dog that's gotten skunked before. And so I'm like, okay, look up the recipe for, de-skunking online. You get hydrogen peroxide, liquid dish soap, and baking soda. Cool. Got the liquid dish soap and got the baking soda. No problem, right? Well, we don't have any hydrogen peroxide. So I said, Whitney, okay, you rest. I'll go to Walmart or CVS or whatever and get some hydrogen peroxide. We'll make this. I'll take the dog outside, or I'll keep the dog outside. I'll rinse her off, blah, blah, blah. So I drive to CVS, they're out of hydrogen peroxide. I drive to Walmart, they're out of hydrogen peroxide. I drive to two different gas stations, they're too out of hydrogen peroxide. To which I was like, man, you gotta be kidding me. Now it's 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. So I get home, I tell Whitney, I said, there's no hydrogen peroxide to be found anywhere. So she said, okay, well, we'll just deal with it in the morning. There's a great pet shop that's by us, a locally owned pet shop that we love, and they have a de-skunking shampoo. In fact, we saw it on their website. We thought, okay, that's the game plan. So then Whitney did some more reading. She said, we should really rinse her off because, if it gets in her eyes, it could cause damage. So we got apple cider vinegar and water, and we rinsed off her fur to try and get rid of some of the smell. Needless to say, we finished this rinsing session at 4:30 in the morning, and I looked at Whitney right before we went to bed. We were exhausted, and I said, well, I guess this is great practice for when Emerson gets here. I don't know really what the moral of that story is, other than that it's kind of funny that all the things happen at once. Whitney's having these kind of practice contractions, and Argos gets sprayed by a skunk, and we were up until all hours of the morning trying to figure it out. Anyways, I wanted to share that with you since that was my... I guess the weekly trials and tribulations report from my house. From my house to yours, I hope you're doing fantastic. I hope you have a great week in your guitar journey. Remember, you can catch the Acoustic Tuesday show coming back for a new season in October. I'm so excited for you to join us. There's so much in store for you. I think you're going to absolutely love it. And again, if you want to do a deep dive on anything I've ever featured on the Acoustic Tuesday show before, please check out acousticlife.tv. Again, from my house to yours, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, guitar geeks unite. Cheers.